You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you get to it, I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the word, but makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, and I'll let you fill in the details on the other side. Happy non-daylight time. I'm so glad to be in Arizona. We don't have to adjust our sleep patterns. Just the stress and the terrorist attacks do that for us. We have a really, really good show for you. We've got two very recent pre-records we're going to put out. And obviously, they predated the tragedy today in Sutherland, Texas. In hour two, we're going to be listening to an interview I did 2 days ago with my good friend Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. And Paul and I lay out how this terrorist organization has its roots in Calexit. And listen, we go into the detail. You're not going to want to miss that because it does tie into the events of today. In hour number three, Josh Coy joined me 3 days ago. And he's feeling a little under the weather. And Josh, wish you well. I know you're listening. And he's got that great show here on Global Star Radio Network, this terrific network, Zero Radio. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But Josh and I are going to go through some current events. And it's really, really, really interesting. He gets insights and stuff that doesn't cross my desk very often. This is why I like to talk to him so much, besides he's a funny guy. Hour number one, we're going to be joined by Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. It's his first visit to our show, and I can't believe that's true. And we're going to have him back on a pretty regular basis, because his stuff is everywhere, and it's really, really good stuff. He's got great insight. He's a tremendous man of God. But before we get started, I wanted to say a few things about the sponsors of the show, and I promise I will make it quick, because we got a full boat tonight to go over. You hear an ad there from Virtual Shield at the top of the hour. They're real. That's the real deal, folks. They can conceal your IP address as it goes from VPN to VPN, and everything they say there is real. These guys all have intelligence backgrounds. That's coming out this month, and I'm trying to get them on the show to talk about it. It's kind of like pulling teeth right now, but I have a go-between. But I can get you 20% off that deal. If you go to the YouTube channel after the show, The Common Sense Show, down in the description box, I've got the URL you go to. It's specifically tied to me, and no, I don't get the commission on this. It's a straight standard advertising fee. But if you go there and use the coupon code Hodges, but you have to go to the right URL. And if you use the one that's at the top of the show here, you won't get the 20% discount. We're in the process of changing that. We've got someone who's working with them and trying to produce a new commercial, but I wanted to try to save everybody out there 20%. We are brought to you this hour by Steve Quayle of Renaissance Precious Metals. And, you know, everyone knows I'm friends with Steve. We have a business relationship. We're colleagues. We feed each other stuff. I think he's the salt of the earth. I almost had to beg him to get involved in precious metals. He really will not hard sell you. He'll do the opposite. He'll tell you if you don't have enough money, buy food. But in these uncertain times, when your money could disappear in the blink of an eye, your soon-to-be worthless cash can get converted into precious metals. And assuming we get through the crisis and you got precious metals, you're going to be a lot better off than the people who do not. Well, what do you do to get involved in this? Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. We're also brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com and my good friend Bob Griswold. And Bob, you hear him here a lot on the show, and this guy is Mr. King Prepper. I know nobody. Well, there's a couple people, but he has very little competition in terms of knowledge of prepping. And the good thing about Bob is when you contact him and say, Bob, I got some questions, he's not going to charge you for his time. He will take time. He'll even call you back. I had a person who listens to the show said, I don't believe he'll call me back. And she left a message, and then she emailed me and said, he called me back. So he'll work with you on your prepping needs. He has everything, everything from water filtration to night vision to whatever you need. Go to readymaderesources.com. The number's right there on the screen. Tell him that Dave sent you. And I tell you, you won't be disappointed, because I think the time is short, so you better get prepped. And then finally, we're brought to you by Numana Foods. Everybody, and I mean everybody, should have storable food. There is nobody that should not have storable food. I don't care if you can only afford 30 days. I recommend 6 months to 2 years. But you need to have storable food, because when the poop hits the fan, the just-in-time delivery stop, that six times a day at Walmart or your grocery store, where are you going to get food? Well, then, if you don't, you're going to have to be bigger, badder, and tougher than the guy next door. You don't want to put yourself in that position. Take care of your family by going to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9 to take 5% off. Well, enough of who takes care of us. Now it's time to take care of the knowledge base here. A lot going on in the world, and I'm not going to give any previews on this. I'm just going to bring in Coach Dobbenmeyer, and we're going to talk about what's happening. Dave, welcome to the show, and we're so glad you could join us.
Oh, Dave, I've been an admirer of yours for years, as many others have, and honored to be on with you, brother, and kind of ironic that I would get to be on with you tonight after this whole thing's breaking loose down there in Texas, brother. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive.
Amen, my friend. It's incredible. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying that it's easy to predict what these bad guys are going to do, because they follow principles of Sun Tzu, rules for radicals. And this morning I wrote there'd be three targets. I said November 4th came and went like I said. I didn't think anything would happen, and I said that publicly. I said I don't think it'd be stupid to telegraph your move, but I said malls, churches, and schools. Well, the churches got hit. Back Santa Monica, and now the horrible, horrible tragedy in Sutherland, Texas. And Dave, they're floating multiple narratives out there. What do you make of what's going on?
Well, you know, Dave, I look at this from a sports standpoint. I just, like you, man, a guy who's done athletics my whole life, I apply the art of athletics to everything I see. And, you know, in football in particular, boy, is deception important. You know, the old bootleg and counters and reverses and all that kind of stuff. And I'm convinced, first of all, Dave, that as far as the Antifa yesterday, they made that look like that was going to happen on purpose, so we would go to sleep. And now, you know, I see some of the websites, people are laughing at them. The movement's dying. There's really nothing going on. See, they've lost. Well, brother, that's just not true, man. They're gonna do something big, and they're gonna do it at some point in regards to other rallies. So that part of it's just, they're just getting organized. And then as far as what happened down in Texas today, I had a couple things came to my mind right away. First of all, they tried to paint it out as some guy who used to be a Bible school teacher back to taught 4 and 5 year old kids in Bible school, and they want so much to make it to be a right winger that's going to shoot somebody, but we know that's not the truth. But they're floating a couple different stories out there, Dave, because they are the masters of deception, brother. They are the masters of deception, and always told our linebackers, keep your eye on the ball. And it's so hard. Read your keys, keep your eye on the ball. And only those of us, and I throw my hat in that ring as well, who really, really study this stuff, understand the deceptive powers that are at work in everything that's going on around us.
You're so right, and it's right. Keep your eye on your key. Read your keys, because that'll take you to the play. And the keys are the practices they follow over and over. This is just like Vegas. Multiple narratives. Here, let me put this out there, and I'll have you comment on it. One narrative that's being run, and this is on a lot of websites right now, the shooter was identified as Devin Patrick Kelly, a 29-year-old ex-Marine who changed his name to Samir Al-Hajid, and he's a converted Muslim. And then, of course, local TV, and I've got the video up on my website. Go see it after the show, not now. But Chris Ward, a local person who allegedly executed his family, this is what was reported on local TV, and you can see that for yourself. That's out there, too, and he's classic MK Ultra. I mean, we're going to find Prozac in his background, you know, psychotropic drugs. He's going to have periods of missing time. Anyway, those are your two scenarios that are being reported. Dave, what do you make of this? Is there a third scenario yet, or how do you view what's going on?
Well, you know, I've been telling everybody for about a month, Dave, referring back to Las Vegas, and all the misinformation and disinformation and new ideas, new things that come out of, you know, everything constantly changes in that whole scenario. And I told everybody, listen, this could be cleared up in one afternoon with a press conference. Now, why are they not doing that? Why hasn't the FBI come out and told us, we know this, we know this, we don't know this, we don't know this? They purposely allow this disinformation to be out there. Now, I thought, as far as this one here in Texas, my immediate reaction is I thought of our mutual friend, my friend Russ Dizdar, and he's been talking about the MK Ultras and how many sleepers there are out there, and you know, he makes a great case for all. Many of the shootings have been done have been, you know, haven't been these lone wolf guys, but rather MK Ultras who've been mind controlled. And that was my initial reaction, Dave, before I even knew any of the names or anything. It just looked like, you know, just walking into a church out in the middle of nowhere, a town of what they say 700 people, walking in there and shooting 50 of them. And isn't it something, Dave? The shooters always end up dead. We never really get to the bottom of it.
It's the same scenario every time, and this is why I can't believe people still believe it, but it worked over 50 years ago. I mean, you got Bobby Kennedy, John Kennedy, and Martin Luther King all killed by a lone nut assassin, and you can trace their paper trail. And by the way, this Al-Hajid character, it's been taken down now, but he had this Muslim propaganda all over Facebook. And they've now since removed it. But it's always the same thing. There's always a paper trail. It's a lone nut assassin. It's never a conspiracy. And they're doing this, obviously, to get the guns. But, Dave, I'll tell you something else that surfaced and crossed my desk. And I don't know if you have come across this. But I've been saying for 2 weeks now, the plan here, and Fox News reported this last Sunday, the plan here is to create so much chaos that UN peacekeepers are brought in, and that's the takeover. And Fox News said that we agreed to that under the Obama administration, and it has not been refuted by Trump.
Well, it makes sense to me, but Dave, listen, for the last 15 years, I've been known as one of those tinfoil hat guys anyway, right? And
me too.
I would be trying to warn people stuff that I saw was coming, and even particularly people in the church, that, you know, they don't want to hear it at all. And I tried to tell them, I was at a conference in Branson, Steve Quayle's conference in Branson, it was a couple months ago now, I lose track of time. And the speakers were going on. It was fantastic stuff. But Dave, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is that. And I just kind of paused for a minute, and I thought, what? He said, no, this is that. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul said when the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts, second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell and everybody was concerned, they didn't know what was going on. Paul stood up and said, hey, relax, this is that the prophet Joel prophesied. And Dave, this is that, the stuff that we see going on around us. This stuff, brother. Listen, I'm not an end time. I'm not focused on you know, my rapture beliefs. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't care if anybody else does. I don't. But this whole thing of the death and the destruction and things coming upon the earth, that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. That if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. Dave, this is that. It's everywhere that we look, and the confusion and the deception. And I run into people whose minds are completely fogged, and they can't tell the difference between the truth and something that's false. And so I think there's a lot of fake stuff that's going on here, like we saw in Las Vegas. Was that a drill? What was it? Certainly some people died there, but Dave, I don't know, man. There was a lot of mixing of metaphors there, and a combination maybe of a drill and combination of actually somebody being shot. And, man, it's just a lot of deception out there, brother.
My best sources tell me about Vegas that Paddock was a CIA-type Air America pilot, and I had received a warning before I came on the air on October 1st, the date of the massacre, that Antifa had joined forces with MS-13 and ISIS. Yeah, and this came to me from a very, very high-level source, my best one. But we didn't connect it when we talked to Vegas. We just knew something was coming. And I always feel bad that I didn't have time to dig, and maybe, I don't know how I would have figured out it was Vegas, but we knew this was coming. And all the players have been traced back to the Philippines and these groups, and these groups are behind what's going on now, And I guarantee you, Dave, as the smoke clears and people from the independent media's prying eyes get into this event in Sutherland, Texas, we're going to find the same players, we're going to find the same playbook, and we're going to find the same objectives that are there. And I think we're going to see this, I don't want to make a prediction, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't every other day now.
Well, I think, Dave, that the say what you want to about Donald Trump and draining the swamp and all that stuff. I really believe that, you know, the scripture says there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I've played against desperate football teams when I was coaching, desperate basketball teams. And Dave, you know that when a team gets behind and when they know that they got a very short time to be able to win the ball game, you know, they start doing crazy stuff. They get more and more desperate. And I really think that we're beginning to see, for whatever reason, the other side appears to be eating themselves a little bit. Some rats are running off the ship. Some people are abandoning the ship. And I just really think that something big is coming down on, I hate to say our side, but I call it our side, the side of righteousness. Something big is coming down there. And, Dave, I think the other side is scrambling and amping it up. And I would not be surprised at anything that they would do at this point, just because I think there are a lot of people whose reputations and whose lives are really, really on the line if this stuff begins to break loose.
Yeah, you said something really interesting, something like the rats are jumping off the ship. And that's how I see Donna Brazile. I mean, she was at the center of the email scandal, the email fraud, the stealing the Democratic primary from Bernie Sanders, the murder of Seth Rich over the leak of the WikiLeaks emails that he perpetrated. She knows, quote unquote, where all the bodies are buried. And I find it interesting now. She's written a book. She's going on Fox. Who would have ever thought it?
Well, she certainly knows something the rest of us don't know, doesn't she, Dave? And she knows where some of these rabbit holes are going to lead. And so for whatever reason, whether it's to save her own skin, listen, Coach, you know this, never underestimate your opponent. We can never, ever underestimate them. They have a plan. They're trying to execute that plan. They go in at halftime. Things change a little bit. They adjust the plan. So now we see Elizabeth Warren comes out. We see Brazile comes out. Brother, that's just too obvious. Something big is going on. I don't know what it is. I would like to be a prophet and be able to tell you. But the other side is in a state of... I don't know if I want to use the term panic, but they are certainly scrambling to figure out how they're going to try to manipulate this.
Well, I agree, and I agree with your sentiment about they're desperate and they're like an athletic team backed into a corner, you know, and they're putting 10 men on the line of scrimmage and playing zero defense. But I think that what we're looking at here is teams that do that sometimes are successful. And for them, you know what I think their Gap 8 defense is? I think it's nuclear bombs in American cities or the release of a pandemic like what we're seeing emanate out of Madagascar. What do you think?
Well, I think it's, you mentioned earlier that you said schools, churches, shopping malls. There's so many soft targets, Dave, so many. And, you know, my wife and I will drive. I live about 35 miles east of Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, we'll be driving down Interstate 70. I'm just looking around at all the soft targets, all the schools, everything that's out there. And I've mentioned that to her many times. My goodness, the availability for them to be able to change the entire narrative, it can be done in one afternoon in one place. And I don't think we can sell them short, Dave. Any unregenerated soul, any evil heart, the darkness of that heart, brother, I don't think we can even begin to conceive what that would be like, and especially one that's desperate. So I don't put anything past them.
Well, I think you're right on the money, and I like I said, this is where my mind goes. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the 4th through the 6th ongoing is an EMP, CME, coronal mass ejection, blackout drill. And on top of that, what was it, 3 days ago, the nuclear power plants rehearsed on what would happen during shutdowns.
You know, I thought as I was watching the whole thing, I thought, no, this is too obvious. This is too Antifa's going to, they're going to ride on the 4th, and they're going to shut down the they're going to start shutting down the power. This is too obvious. So again, I think we've been kind of what do they call that? A soft release, a little bit of some of this stuff. And Dave, we cannot be ignorant of his devices. And again, I keep coming back to the same thing. And everybody that I talk to, Donald Trump, when he got elected president of the United States, it shocked the world for sure, and it certainly shocked both sides, especially the other side. Our side still hasn't really caught up to it, I don't think. But you know, he was like a bouncer at a bar. He stepped in front, blocked the door, and said to Hillary or whoever, no, you're not coming in here. It's not going to go any further than this. And he's been under unbelievable assault and attack over the last 10 months or 9 months, whatever he's been president of the United States. But, Dave, I think he's – I think it's the opportunity. I'm reminded of Emmanuel, Rahm Emanuel, who said, never let a crisis go to waste. And so I'm looking at it from our standpoint, Dave, on our team. And we're not very good at reacting to crisis. And we rarely play offense. We almost always play defense. Yes. And I see this as an opportunity for us to go on the offensive. But, you know, Trump can't make America great again. He can't do that. The church certainly could. If the church were to rise up, Christians in particular, I don't think it would take a whole lot of us, Dave. I think it would take a lot of us who are organized and focused and pushing into the right direction. And so I look out at what's going on. Ultimately, the Lord's in control. But he's allowed all of this to happen. And he's allowed Dave Hodges and Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer and Steve Quayle and Joe Hagman and Doug Hagman. Run down the list. He's allowed us to be alive and here at such a time as this, brother. We ought to be getting organized and figure out how the heck we ought to be pushing back against these forces of darkness.
Well, we better start pushing. And I'll tell you who I would start with. And I know this is controversial. And I'm going to let something out here on the air. And I'm not going to tell everybody the source because I don't have permission. But Jeff Sessions, obviously, or his people, listen to the show. And someone got their royal behind. And also, I've heard from somebody else who also got their royal behind chewed out. Because they Sessions thought I was getting fed information by them, which I wasn't, from neither person. Jeff Sessions needs to go. The fact that Hillary's not under indictment, Wasserman Schultz is not under indictment, Abedin's not under indictment, they all need to be prosecuted, but not with Jeff Sessions. He's not doing his job. Do you have any idea why Trump keeps him on this do-nothing attorney general?
Well, I have a couple different things I think are going on here, Dave, and I can't really speak to that issue because I really don't know. Other than I believe this, I believe that the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton whatever, call them whatever you want to, brother, I believe just about everybody in Washington D.C. at one time or another has had their palm stroked by the Clinton Foundation, whether it be donations to their campaign, who knows how it's happened. I think most of the people in Washington, D.C., call them the deep swamp, the swamp, call them whatever you want to, I believe they're all in some way compromised by that whole Clinton cabal. And I would hate to believe it, but possibly Jeff Sessions is the same place too. Dave, once they start down into that rabbit hole, brother, this thing is so deep. And so I would wonder if maybe they just don't want to go there because there are going to be too many what Americans believe to be good, honest men who are going to be caught up in this thing. That's the only thing I can figure out. You hear people who know Jeff Sessions talk about him, talk about what an honorable guy he is. He seems to be an honorable guy. But man, oh man, he will not pull the trigger on this one. And I don't know, brother. I just don't know. And I also would tell you this. I don't think Trump's dumb. I don't think he's dumb. So I think Trump is, Trump is giving him some rope because Trump is never a man without a plan, and he's letting this play out. And I hope he has some strategy. Because if ultimately, Dave, I think everything from a biblical perspective. You know, when the founders put together the Constitution, they talked about high crimes and misdemeanors. And for the longest time in my life, and for many people in America, they think a high crime is a serious crime. Well, high crime doesn't have to do with, like, murder or the degree of the crime. A high crime has to do with the position the person holds. A high crime would be stealing by the president. That would be a high crime. That would be much more serious than maybe an average person in America doing some embezzling, those two don't even compare. So we're looking at high crimes. And for that standpoint, as I look at from a Christian biblical perspective, Hillary Clinton has to be brought to justice. Obama has to be brought to justice, Dave. If we don't bring these guys to justice, you read Isaiah 56, I think it is, says the Lord saw it and there was no, it displeased him that there was no justice. And the scriptures tell us that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. So that's a roundabout answer, but brother, at some point, 100 years ago, Dave, they'd had torches and pitchforks, and they'd have been storming the White House. No, not the White House, but when Hillary was at the State Department, they wouldn't have gotten away with it. But they're getting away with it today because I believe the church is so soft and ineffectual in what it's trying to do in regards to being salt in the culture.
Well, I agree with you about the church. I agree with you about, well, let me put it this way. I'm reminded of the old song, I think it was from the 70s. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle, ...
Amen.
And this is what I think Trump is facing, but he could fire him, he could appoint Trey Gowdy, or he could appoint Rand Paul, and Hillary Clinton would have to go to Belize where she couldn't be extradited. I mean, this is what really gets me. The email evidence is conclusive. It's not even arguable. A defense attorney wouldn't even try to go into court. They'd be looking to cut a deal. How do we not go after her for this?
Well, I was watching the Ohio State Buckeyes last night. They got hammered by Iowa, Dave, and I'm watching it, and I keep asking myself, why won't the Buckeyes run the ball? Why won't they run the ball? And I think we stand back and we like to be, Monday morning quarterbacks. We like to be armchair quarterbacks and watch the whole thing. I'm wondering, Dave, if there have to be righteous men somewhere in that Justice Department, somewhere in the FBI. There have to be righteous men. And I don't wonder if there isn't something going on behind the scenes that we just aren't aware of. And I'm wondering if maybe Trump is just kind of building a case behind the scenes, looking like they're not investigating anything, and that some stuff isn't going on that we're not aware of. And if it's not, hey, Dave, look, everybody knows, right? Everybody knows what happened with Hillary Clinton. It's out there for everybody to see. It's clearly a crime. And so for us to, as I said, for our government to have any credibility at all, there's going to have to be justice. So I'm just holding out hope that, again, the old bootleg, while we're watching their right hand, they're working over there with the left hand as well. And at some point, something's going to come down.
Yeah,
you probably have better contacts than me about that, Dave. I'm just looking at it. I'm just sitting there thinking, certainly Donald Trump knows why he was elected president of the United States. I watched that debate, a little clip of the debate, one of the debates where he said that you'd be in jail. He told Hillary you'd be in jail, and everybody cheered. He certainly knows what it is that the people want him to do. And for the most part, what I've seen of him, he's been pretty much, he's tried to do what he said he was going to do. So I think there's something at work behind the scenes we just don't see.
Well, he lamented publicly that he's upset because the DOJ, and his words were, can't investigate Hillary. And see, to me, that means the wrong people are in charge. Because if the right people are in charge, she's got a criminal trail longer, it could stretch around the planet. So I don't know why she can't be prosecuted. And okay, let's assume we couldn't.
That doesn't mean there aren't investigations going on. We don't know that there aren't investigations going on, and maybe they'll come forward with hard, rock solid evidence, and boom, make it happen all once. And it's a surprise play, right? I mean, I just got a feeling that they see what we see. They know what we know. And I think Donald Trump has been so much up against it, even from those in his own party. And the reason it's been happening from those in his own party is because they're all caught up in this scandal. They're all caught up in this Clinton cabal. They're all Dave, nobody thought that Hillary Clinton wouldn't be president. And if it wasn't going to be Hillary, it was going to be Jeb Bush. So they weren't worried about having to cover their trail. So I think that, You know, I think Trump, there for a while, was kind of a man without a country. I think he's catching his stride a little bit. And I think there's something going on behind the scenes. I don't know that, brother. It's just a gut.
Yeah. I'm not real good with faith unless it comes, you know, by way of my religion, my belief in God.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to be, I used to teach statistics and research, so that kind of tells you my M.O., And I just see, I'll go back. April 2015, I read a blurb in the New York Times that said, intimated that Hillary might have been involved in a uranium transfer to Putin. And I thought, whoa, the New York Times, you got to be kidding me. I published the follow-up 2.5 years ago, and now it's just making its way onto Fox, and of course it doesn't exist on the other networks. And this is what bothers me. If I can look at a newspaper article and I can go in and find stuff, and other people like me can go in and find stuff, then what are we paying Sessions for? This is just, to me, I just am at wit's end. And here's the biggest thing that gets me. This is one thing that no one's explained to my satisfaction. Scalise was on to child sex trafficking, deep state connections, pro-Second Amendment guy. And of all the people who almost got killed, and very seriously wounded, it was him. And I don't buy coincidences. And why wasn't every stone turned over there by Jeff Sessions? See, these are my issues.
Yeah, publicly, Dave, it doesn't appear that it was. But they can be doing investigations on you that you're not aware of. Brother, listen, if Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration do not at some point indict Hillary Clinton, all my confidence in, I have very little confidence in government now, but all my confidence in government will be gone at that point. You know, I look back, Dave, December 22nd, 1963, when Kennedy was killed, that was the day America died because, you know, they began to lie to us openly, and we saw it. And here we are, 50-some years later, and they release this information, and they still don't release all the information to us. They block out some of it, and some of the stuff they keep back for later discovery or whatever, whether ever release it. At some point, brother, if our attempt in self-government is going to succeed, then we're going to have to, these things are going to have to happen. And I think part of the thing has to continue to go on. You have to continue to do what you do in the Hagmans and just continue to trumpet it and blow the horn. Because you know what, Dave? I still, as hard as it is to believe, in 2017, I still go around and meet people who don't get what's going on. They have no idea what's going on. Dave, I'm talking about people in the stinking church, for heaven's sakes, who have no idea what's going on. And it doesn't take everybody, but if we could get 7%, 8%, 10% of the people to wake up and really begin to push, brother, that's a lot of people. And rather than us sitting back and waiting for Sessions and those guys to do something, we got to push, man. We got to push and push and push and push and make our voices be heard and force them to cover some of these things. And I see a little bit of daylight in the last couple, 3 weeks. Things are beginning to happen. The turning of the apparent turning of Brazil and the Corey Feldman and what's going on with the pedophile stuff in D.C. and Harvey Weinstein. I feel there's little cracks in the wall, but we got to be smart enough to push that jackhammer on through there and blast those things open.
I agree with your comments about Brazil and others that are coming out. Feldman, you know, John Robertson, the producer for Doug Hagman, has been speaking on this and has been for some time.
Right.
So I do agree. I do agree that this needs to be pushed wide open, and because I'm unhappy with Sessions' performance doesn't mean that I can use that as an excuse to not do my job. I hear what you're saying, and you're entirely right, because when we start making excuses, you make excuses for losing. And so you're right on the money with that assessment, but I'm publicly expressing my frustration, and I think I've been patient long enough. You know, like Uma Abedin, in possession of all these emails, why isn't she being touched?
Yeah.
And there's no spousal privilege now because she and Anthony Weiner are divorced. So he could testify against her and get a lighter sentence.
Brother, I wish I had an answer. I wish I did. But I just got this feeling inside me. Dave, I really believe that a lot of this stuff is happening, I believe that it has angered the Lord. And I think the Lord's angered about a lot of stuff, and I'm not trying to be all out there charismatic on you. I'm just saying this, brother. He hates the injustice that's going on in this land. He hates it. He hates the shedding of the innocent blood of the unborn. Well, here we are 10 months removed, and still we have not defunded Planned Parenthood. The Republicans haven't stood up and haven't done it. And see, I'm reminded of Matthew 16, where Jesus said he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. But Dave, the gates of hell are going to prevail against conservatism, and they'll prevail against the Republican Party, and they'll prevail against the Tea Party, and they'll prevail against Make America Great Again. And I believe that God is tapping us on the shoulder, trying to wake up the church to stand up and push back in a righteous manner and demand some of these things be done. But Dave, I don't know what it's like where you live. I look around where I live. Pastors are oblivious to what's going on. The church is not pushing back. There is a remnant of us, God-fearing people, who really are actively involved and really pushing back to make a difference. But I don't know what it's like in your life. I'm a pariah in the church because they just don't want to touch these things. So judgment is upon America. And Second Chronicles said, you know, if my people, it's not, we don't care about everybody else. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Dave, back when you were coaching, I would go into the locker room when I was coaching. I'm sure you did the same thing. I'd say, listen, I don't care how good their running back is. I don't care how good their linebackers are. I couldn't care less how good their nose man is. If we just do what we're supposed to do, we can't control what they do. But if we just block and tackle and hang on to the ball and don't jump off sides and don't argue amongst ourselves and don't do stupid things, we'll be okay at the end of the game. And so I look at this whole perspective, this whole thing that's going on. I said, man, if the church will just stand up and do what the church is supposed to do, I don't care what the opponents are going to do. Greater is He that is in us and He that is in the world, and we can, in fact, take them down. So my great frustration is not in the political realm. My great frustration is in the church realm, is in the Christian realm, that we're not standing up and demanding righteousness and righteous government, and that the lying would cease. That's where my heart is.
Well, two responses. One is just more of a rhetorical comment. Steve Quayle once told me, you know, speaking to him on the phone, he said, Dave, Donald Trump is going to be, and this is before he was elected, is going to be God's prosecutor. I thought that was one of the most insightful and yet simple comments I've ever heard Steve make, but he's right on the money. And then the other thing here, I hear what you're saying, and you're right. We need to take care of our business, but what kind of pastors would ever join something called the clergy response team? I mean, it's almost like so many of them are just lost. I mean, they're not worthy of following.
No, they're not. They're not. That's why, again, when I get a chance to go to, you know, Steve Quayle, as I said, had the event in Branson, and I didn't go as a speaker. I was out there, just had a table, and I've been to some of them, Dave. I want your listeners to know that there are thousands and thousands of us, brother, who are wide awake and know what's going on. But we're fighting a couple different issues. The number one issue I think we're fighting, Dave, is a battle of containment. We cannot break out from an information standpoint. I think about probably the struggles that you've had trying to get the information out, trying to get information to people who will use it. So we have a containment issue. There are gatekeepers on our side who are not on our side. And by that, I'm talking about Christian radio stations. I'm talking about Christian media who ought to be carrying the Common Sense Show, who ought to be carrying the Hagman Report, who ought to be getting these issues out to Christians that Christians would be educated and informed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Dave, we can't get the message out. So therefore, we're restricted to, they think, you know, it took a long time on the internet to grow an audience, and you've been able to do it, and Doug and Joe, and I could go on, Sheila Zelensky, a lot of them have been able to do it, but it's been a slow slog. And Dave, right here in Columbus, Ohio, I used to be on terrestrial radio, and I was on, goes clear back to the early 2000s. And you know, Dave, I can't buy my way back on the radio now. I do radio. I do internet radio like you do. I do that 5 days a week. I can't buy myself back on the Christian radio or secular radio because there are a lot of gatekeepers who will not let that message out. And Dave, it's gatekeepers on our own side. Pastors in the pulpits. people who own radio stations, people who own Christian media, who will not allow these, what they call, controversial issues to be brought before the public. That is, in my mind, the greatest battle we face. And the second greatest battle is our lack of leadership. Now, Dave, we got all kinds of leadership. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands who are listening to you and following you. And they're following Doug and Joe, and they're following Steve. We have all kinds of leaders, but Dave, we don't have an opportunity to raise somebody up as a real leader of this, call it whatever you want to, this, what they're labeling, what, fake news, or they're labeling all right. I don't care what they call it. We have no organized push forward. And at some point, we're going to have to figure out, we're going to have to, for lack of a better term, we're going to have to anoint somebody to be the leader, to lead this fight. And all of us unite behind that guy and go and push, because I believe our audiences are, I think there's a lot of them out there, Dave. There are a lot of them out there, probably much more powerful than what's in the local church. The remnant church is out there alive and well, but we're fighting, as I said, that battle of containment to try to get our word out to reach the world. I do a radio show 5 days a week here from my home, really, Dave, and I just bought some billboards for the first time ever. I bought some billboards, put up CoachDaveLive.com. Are you afraid of the truth? Can you handle the truth? That's what I put on them. Can you handle the truth? CoachDaveLive.com. Because there's no other vehicle to be able to get the word out. And so we have to begin to really, really figure out a way how we can fight and win this battle of containment.
Well, I'm going to tell you, here's my experience with getting on terrestrial radio. I am on terrestrial radio stations. I usually come by way of them, well, like Red State Talk Radio, for example. They've got a bunch of stations that tie into what they do.
Sure.
And Paul Preston was kind enough to push me in that direction. And stations like KYAH, and then we have open listening here, so anyone can come on. Any station could come on and take our feed and carry it live. They just would have to match our clock. But what's interesting is I'll find out from, like, listeners. They'll write to me and say, Dave, I hear you on this station in Boise, Idaho. But let me tell you, I have an easier time getting on secular terrestrial radio than I do Christian radio stations. There's one here in the Phoenix area. I approached them about 2.5 years ago, and I said, would you like to carry my show? And I said, we could do revenue split. They wanted to charge me for 4 shows. They wanted to charge me $2,000. I said, whoa, guys, I don't want to buy the station. I said, I'm trying to spread the word that we're in trouble, and I think you'd want part of that. And I can bring listeners to your station. I can bring advertisers, and I'm willing to split that with you to get on the show. They don't want anything unless I put down the money up front. They didn't care what my resources were, and they're Christian, supposedly.
Well, I'm with you, Dave, and see, here's the other issue. I believe that there are a lot of people who are on our side that aren't Christians. They're fighting an unrighteous battle. They don't really understand what's going on. But if they could get a dose on secular radio, a consistent dose of the stuff that we bring to the table, brother, I believe their eyes would be open and that they would understand. But you turn on most Christian radio and it's just, Dave, it's bilge. It's just meaningless bilge. And I can't hardly listen to it, just preaching after preaching. And then I ask myself this. Why does Sean Hannity, why is he on every place in America? Limbaugh and you can run down through the list of them. Why isn't Dave Hodges out there? Because, Dave, for whatever reason, see, you're either on one team or you're on the other. And I happen to lead with my faith. That makes people uncomfortable. But if we don't lead with our faith and we don't say, listen, this is a faith-based program talking about cultural issues, we have to lead with our faith. If, Dave, if they make me put my faith in my pocket, I'm disarmed. Then I'm just coming at it from pretensal, which is what I call conservatism. Conservatism means nothing. It's meaningless. I want to come at it from a perspective. I'm a Christian man. Here's what the Bible teaches, and here's how it applies to where we are, and here is what's going on around us. Dave, to try to find a venue to get that kind of stuff out is almost impossible.
It is challenging. And even when you're on those venues, it's challenging. Google redirects website traffic away from me. You know, it's funny. Google used to be number 2 on my analytics for my website. They're about 15 right now. And then, of course, Google controls YouTube, and I've had similar experience there. It's really interesting. They're working so hard to silence us. But, you know, there's something I noticed in the primary, and I think there's a little divine intervention here. One thing I noticed when the other 17 Republican candidates attacked Donald Trump in unison, along with all the media, the people increased their level of support for Trump, didn't decrease it. And then during the debates, when Trump was treated so differentially than the other candidates, the people increased their support for Trump. And I think, too, that what I'm discovering here is, even though I'm the victim of big-time censorship, and I mean, I could tell you stories that would curl your toes, my numbers have gone up. It's like what they're doing is not working.
Well, can I tell you why it's critically important, and why if you go back and listen to a replay of this program, I've mentioned some of those names over and over and over because of the importance of cross-pollinization. See, there should be people listening to Dave Hodges and to the Hagmans and to Sheila Zelensky. And I'm forgetting some other names that you could throw out there. And we've got to take, all of us have to take our audiences, Dave, and drive them towards the same direction. Think about Limbaugh. He's on every day. What does he say? He has 20 million listeners or something. Well, what if those 20 million listeners, what if Rush Limbaugh, my goodness, what if he gave a half hour to you, Dave, and you could get on there and talk about the stuff that you know. You can listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he'll never talk about what the media will tell us is conspiracy theories. He'll never talk about any of that. And, you know, it's funny because Dr. Michael Savage will, and he's persona non grata in the conservative movement, right? And the idea that, do you ever hear Rush Limbaugh talk about anything about Las Vegas and how that could have been faked and maybe there were multiple shooters and the story doesn't lie? You never hear any of that. They don't go into those hard issues. So Limbaugh and Hannity and those guys, they become just pressure valves. That's all it is. You listen to Limbaugh for 3 hours and it's over and you say, Russia's got it. It's all under control. Republicans are good and the Democrats are bad. And that's as deep as most people go. And as an old football coach, and brother, I like to study the game films. I want to know what my opponent's going to do. Scripture tells us that we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And we are ignorant of his devices, Dave, coming back again to the gatekeepers who won't let us get the truth out.
No, you really nailed it with that last comment. And you're absolutely right. And, you know, there is a lot of cross-pollinization. Doug and Joe come on this show a ton.
Yeah, I know.
A ton. And by design, I have Ted Brewer on quite often. I have Bob Griswold on quite often. And that's why. Let me tell you what I see in the mainstream media. Josh Coy, who is a friend of mine, colleague of mine, was on WYDE in Birmingham. And they're the largest radio station in a four-state area. And his show was wildly popular. They took him off for telling the truth. Another friend of mine, Darren Dammy, he's leaving the air December 7th. He's me. In fact, that's what my wife said one time. She goes, you're like this new host, Dave. What new host? New host on KTR, the biggest talk show in Arizona, the biggest news talk station in Arizona. He's been on this show. I've been on his. And he comes on there, and he talks about George Soros and Antifa, and he's leaving December 7th. Now, I haven't talked to him since he made his announcement he's leaving. But he swears up and down it's not forced. He just didn't like the hours. And I do buy it because he explained how it cut into his family life. But if the radio station really wanted to retain this content, and he's number one in his time frame, wouldn't they give him a Saturday night or a Sunday night?
You would sure think so. And it's funny you say that, because I went through the exact same situation here in Columbus, Ohio. And Dave, If I was on terrestrial radio, brother, I would build an audience. I'm just telling you, drive time. I want an audience I could build. Now, I'd be controversial, but we would get the truth out there. The problem is most of the radio stations are profit-driven. And so they're worried about controversy, especially Christian radio stations. They just want to keep their 2 or 3%. They don't want to dive into anything deep. And so the Christian radio stations reflect the pulpits. The pulpits don't want to go deep. The pulpits don't want to have to come in on Sunday morning and talk about what they heard on Coach Dave Live. They certainly don't want to go there when we're talking about the same issues that you're talking about and letting people know exactly what's going on. So, brother, we've got this great vehicle now called the Internet, which we've never had before. And we have to be smart enough, and we have to, again, as I said and you said, cross-pollinate and promote people who are telling the truth and just do everything we can to try to wake people up. I'm still convinced, Dave, I read the scriptures, and it says that in the last days he's going to pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. There's a revival coming, Dave. Now, whether it's going to be in America, I don't know. I believe that Western civilization hangs in the balance. I really, really believe that. Not Christianity. Mm-hmm. But Western civilization as we know it, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, brother, they are under attack like we have never, ever seen. And if we don't rise up and we don't do something within the next couple, 3 years, man, I don't know where it's going to go, Dave. Christianity's not going to fail. Jesus is building a church. He's building a kingdom. The kingdom of God is ever expanding. But I just don't know what part and what role America's going to play in this whole end time thing. And I don't spend all my time looking at the rapture, waiting for the rapture, brother. I'm occupying until he returns. I'm earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints to the very end. And that's not really the message of the church. That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Well, I agree. The church is apostate, and they're missing the point. And every pastor should be focusing a lot on revelations, what we're going through, and what we need to be doing. And, you know, and you also talked, too, about cross-pollinating. That goes for our listening audiences, too. That's not just you and me and Doug and Steve. It's everybody has a mission, a job to do right now.
Amen.
Well, we're almost out of time here, and I wanted to give you a moment here to talk about how people can follow your good work.
Easy. CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. I tell them I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live, brother. I do a show 5 days a week. It's at our website. Eastern Standard Time, 7 to 8. We do an hour program, and it's interactive, and it's hot, and it's really, really good. And I'd be blessed if people went and checked that stuff out. But, Dave, we're trying to tell the truth. Waking men up in particular, Dave. We need Christian men to stand up and step into the gap. And that's the one element that I think is missing in America more than anything. And so that's a cry of our heart. We do a lot of stuff, Dave. I do a lot of on-street ministry. We're helping the folks down in Texas in the hurricane. I just got back from Indianapolis where we're fighting abortion. We're out there earnestly contending for the faith in all of these areas. And we're trying to call men of faith to stand up and join us.
Well, you're doing a tremendous job. And with so many good people like yourself, sometimes I just scratch my head and wonder, man, why aren't we making more progress? But this is not how it's meant to go.
Well, it is, though, brother.
It's not.
We're making far more progress than what we understand. You think, look at your numbers, how many people are listening to you and how many are listening to the Hagmans. We're making progress. But, Dave, listen, we've got boots on the ground, brother. Faith without works is dead. At some point, we are going to have to take it to the field. You know that as an old coach, brother. You can get in there and you can practice. But when that ball's thrown up in the air, that tip off the beginning of the game, all of that practice is now dependent on how you perform once you're out there. And the church, Christian men, we have to move from merely being spectators, watching the game, analyzing the game, understanding the game, to actually getting out and blocking and tackling and hitting somebody.
And you heard that music.
That's what we try to do with our ministry, Dave, encourage people to do that.
Very good. You heard that music. That means we're up against it. Dave, thanks for coming on. We got to do this again. I enjoyed it, even though the subject's grim. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned, everybody. Back in hour number 2 with Paul Preston.